To a certain extent, our society has created this celebrityism among, you know, among conferences and things like this, where whereas you believe that somehow we are not in the same boat that you are. It's somehow that when we get a little microphone over our ear, we get a microphone in our hand, that we don't have the same sort of temptations, that we don't have the same sort of struggles day in and day out. We don't know why we're actually up here. God has called us. This isn't something that any of us like asked to do or anything like that. There's not a career path to get up here, okay? Most of us would rather be home with our families, honestly, okay? We need you to pray for us. We pray for you daily. We need you to pray for us that we continue to just listen to God's call in doing this. We will say that at a certain point in our life, we did decide to follow Christ. And in that, we've asked the Holy Spirit into our life every single day. And one of the things that we want to share with you now is just this idea of fruits of the Spirit, of what a fulfilled, abundant life looks like in the Spirit. So I've asked the team to pick, you know, their most profound, Father Leo's laughing, the most profound, fruit that has impacted their life, and to share that with you for 2 minutes. You have 2 minutes, okay? That's it, just 2 minutes. We're going to set the timer. Before we do that, open your Bibles to Galatians 5. And I'm gonna start in verse 18. Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The works of the flesh, okay, this is what an unfulfilled life looks like. This is what works of the flesh looks like. Works of the flesh are plain. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, this is where the fulfilled life is, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The word of the Lord. All right. So, team, would you please share with us? Adam, you want to go first? Let's give it up for Adam. Sure. Bitter.
So, I'm just going to share real quickly with y'all about peace. Peace is kind of an interesting one. I will say this. There is a difference between being a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. And what ends up happening, I think, a lot of times in our lives with all the different voices that we hear, all the turmoil that we have, family situations, relationships that are unhealthy, people that maybe are pushing us around when they shouldn't be, a lot of times we will allow things to happen in our lives that we shouldn't be allowing to happen. But just to keep the peace, we let that go, and then we continue sinning. We continue being in situations where things are not good for us. And so what I would say is a challenge with peace is be a peacemaker. When there's something in your life that is not right, and I know a lot of you right now, you are in relationships that are unhealthy. You are doing things that are hurting yourself and others. Be a peacemaker and not just a peacekeeper. Confront those things, bring them to God, bring them to a trusted adult, bring them to a priest, bring them to a youth minister, bring them to a parent or a friend, and allow God to make peace in your life by doing what he's asking you to do, and to get rid of some of those chains that hold us back and that take away the peace from our lives. Because I promise you, when you confront those things, all of a sudden, the rest of your life becomes peaceful, and you're able to hear God's voice, and you're able to live in the fruit of the Spirit of peace. So those are my thoughts on peace, and I still have 18 seconds. So I'm done. I failed.
That's good. It's better than normal.
What's up, y'all? I've got the privilege this morning of talking about patience. I don't know about you, but patience does not come naturally to me. I'm a very excitable personality, and I get easily all in on just about any good idea, and therefore I have a very difficult time waiting on the Lord. Anybody habla español or parla italiano? Anybody? So the verb in Spanish to wait, as well as Italian, esperar, esperare, it's the same as the verb for to hope. So to wait is actually to hope. It's a theological virtue as well as a gift of the Holy Spirit. To hope in the Lord. To wait for God in patience. Again, doesn't come naturally to me all. And there's three areas that I really struggle in my life of patience. The first is being patient with myself. Sometimes it's easy to despair. To think that the Lord will never finally, once and for all, conquer our sins. Maybe we feel like peaceful chastity is an impossibility for us. Maybe we feel like humility will never actually have its day in our lives. Maybe we feel like we will always struggle. But the reality is God doesn't want us to always struggle. He wants us to be patient, to be faithful to that struggle. Because our day will come when grace finally conquers all. The other area is patience with others. Sometimes we suffocate others with our demands for perfection and our expectations that we put upon them. We have to love people well and be patient with them along the way. And then the last area, sometimes the most difficult, maybe the most important, is patience with God. Maybe there's an area of great uncertainty in your life, an area where you still have no idea what the Lord is doing. We have to be patient and wait upon him, for he is a good father, a loving father, our Lord and our lover, and he's never going to give up on us. We just have to be patient, to be still, and to wait.
Yeah.
Yes. You did it. Awesome. So I want to talk to you real quickly just about the fruit of joy. And then when we say joy, we probably think happiness, and it's kind of related, but we need to understand joy is bigger than happiness. Happiness for most of us is circumstantial, right? I got 10 likes on my Instagram sandwich. I'm happy, right? Somebody complimented the shoes I'm wearing. I'm happy. I had a good day. I'm happy. But the reality is those peak moments, those don't last. And so God wants to give us something more than just a superficial happiness that this world offers us. So he wants to give us joy. Joy is this deep-seated gift of God planted within us. It's a result of knowing that we are loved. Joy gives us the ability that regardless of the storms our life is in, we can smile because we are anchored elsewhere. Regardless of what this earth throws at us, we are tethered to heaven. And our joy doesn't make sense to the people who aren't. And this is beautiful. A good friend of mine named Jimmy Mitchell was quoting a good friend of his named G.K. Chesterton. And he told me that joy is the gigantic secret of the Christian. Joy is the secret of the Christian. What is it that gives a Christian the ability to go out to this world and to suffer, because we're going to suffer, and still smile and know that there is hope and that life is still good? This is the reason why Pope Francis looked out of the church and he said, if the world sees a priest or a sister that isn't living a joyful life, they can smell it. And I'd add that for us. If we don't leave this place living a joyful life, the world will smell the death that we're living in. Ask for joy and you will receive it.
So I don't know if this story is true. I've been told it is true, but I'm going to tell you anyways. Let's just pretend it's true. So there is this man and he has these three kids, and I think this is in New York actually. And they're taking the subway home. And so they get into the subway. The man sits down, and he just looks exhausted. He's got his three kids. And the three kids start, they sit down next to him, but then they get up, and they start just running around like crazy on the subway train. And the man is just so tired, and he is just sitting there, and he has his hands, his elbows on his knees, his hands in his head. And he's just, I don't know, trying to keep to himself for a few minutes. In the meantime, his kids just keep running and running and running around the subway train. They're running up and down, up and down. And the other passengers are noticing that this is getting really annoying, as wonderful, beautiful kids can be sometimes, right? Nobody here in this room, but there's these other kids in this other place in the world, and they're very annoying. And so this is what these kids start doing. And they're, you know, I think the youngest is around 7, and they go on up to about 13, 12 or 13. And so the other passengers are noticing this, and they're like, you know, they decide to finally say something to the man. And they say, sir, would you mind doing something? Your kids are being very disruptive. And he looks up and he says, you know, you're right. I probably should pay a little bit more attention to them right now. But we just got back from the hospital where my wife died. And I guess they don't know how to handle it. And I guess I don't know how to handle it either. All of us go through so much. Everybody is fighting a battle. And some of them are silent and some of them are more apparent. But what we can do to one another to help us through it is kindness, is being kind, thinking the best of another. This world will be a lot better if you could be kind to one another. If you could say something kind, give a kind look, not be so judgmental. Because when you are kind to others, you in turn become, and you turn that kindness in on yourself. And you become a little bit more patient and even more joyful with yourself, more peaceful too. You may be the only copy of the gospel people will read. Show that gospel of Jesus Christ through your kindness to others. Amen. Amen. God love you. I just went for more instead of less.
When talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they use the term fruit. And I like that because it's food. And you have to eat it because our faith is not theory. It is incarnate. That means it becomes flesh. And that's why the perfect image of faithfulness is our Blessed Mother, who bore the fruit of God's love for us. Just by saying, and here's how you can grow in faith, let it be done according to God's will. You see, Mary is a person of faith because she had character. And character can be defined as this: doing the right thing, even when no one is watching. Because that takes faith to know that God is watching. Faith is one of these elusive virtues that we can say, I'm spiritual, I just am not religious. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Because if you really are spiritual, it will take flesh in you and it will make you religious. So here are some of the things that you need to be faithful to. Family. Be faithful to your friends. Be faithful to true joy, fun in life. Be faithful to the food that God gives to you. Because if you want to taste faith, all you have to do is come to communion and say, amen. You see, faith is also understood not in doing the right thing all the time, but getting up when you fall. A faithful person doesn't look like the healthy buff dude in the gym who just pumps himself with steroids. No. It's the chubby, chunky guy who goes to the gym and works out every day because he knows with the discipline he can do better. So for all of us spiritual, flabby people, be faithful!
Nailed it. Oh, it's still going though. Oh my goodness. Love. Facebook posts will not change the world. Love will. Love will. When Christ was asked to reduce the entire law, the greatest commands, down, when they asked him, and they were after him, they said, teacher, tell us, what is the greatest command? He said this. He said, love God with everything that you have. Love God more than your grades. Love God more than your shoes. Love God more than your popularity. Love God more than all the things that are going on in your life. Love him above everything else. And then the second one is as itself, as the first, love your neighbor as yourself. See, Pope Francis talks about a gospel. He talks about encountering Christ. Not just in the sacraments, not just when we gather here, but also in our neighbor. And when Christ said, love your neighbor, I believe that he really, really understood who neighbor was. See, we try to sort of create this idea that neighbor is just neighbor. It's out there, you know, like who's our neighbor? I don't know. Everybody is our neighbor. But I believe that God, when he said, love your neighbor, he really meant your neighbor. Like your neighbor. Like your actual neighbor. I had this rude awakening in my life when my 4-year-old son came home from Sunday school and he says, Dad, can we go meet our neighbors? And I was like, sure, buddy, why do we want to meet our neighbors? He said, because my teacher told me that we should love our neighbors and I thought we should get to know them. And here I was, a national speaker, going across the world to preach the gospel. And I didn't even know the names of the people on my street. Brothers and sisters, love will transform the world. Not Facebook posts, not even conferences, not even systems and programs. God came incarnate. He came as a person, not a program. And so if we want to transform our culture from within, we must love our neighbor. And that's going to mean we come out of our comfort zone. It's going to mean we love somebody who isn't like us. Somebody who doesn't agree with our worldview. Kind of easy to go over to Haiti and paint a church. Awesome if you do that. But way more difficult to love the person inside your own home or the person right next door. Love. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen?